Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we continue in our series called The Invisible War. In these lessons, we'll take an in-depth look at the unseen world of good and evil and how the spiritual side of life directly impacts our day-to-day existence in ways we never imagined. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you how you can get the all-new Silver Scripture Box with a set of 52 new Bible verse memorization cards based on this series, The Invisible War. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 for more information. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called Making the Hard Changes in Me.
The fourth change that is required is that change requires the Holy Spirit. You need more power than just willpower in your life. You need God's power in your life. Again, we talked about this in detail last week. You might get that message in Romans chapter 8. Verse 24 says this, you must put on your new nature. And you can't do that with willpower. You must put on your new nature because you are a new person created in God's likeness, righteous, holy, and true. Now, what he's talking about here is what the Bible calls the fruit of the Spirit. These are the qualities that God puts in your life when the Holy Spirit lives through you. And the Bible says there are 9 of those qualities. They're love and joy and peace and gentleness and patience and kindness and goodness and meekness and self-control and faithfulness. There are 9 of these qualities. And how does God produce the fruit in your life? Not by willpower. You don't go out and say, I'm going to be a more patient person. Doesn't work. I'm going to be a more joyful person. Doesn't work. I'm going to be a more loving person. Willpower does not work. Fruit is an inside job. The Holy Spirit has to grow it on the inside. You trying to say, I'm going to be more patient. I'm going to be more loving. It's like saying, I think I'm going to go out and tie a bunch of apples on my tree outside. And you got these apples tied on. I'm going to go out and take my, you know, the eucalyptus tree in the front. And we're going to tie some oranges on it and call it an orange tree. It doesn't work that way. Fruit can only come from the inside. It's got to be His Spirit living through you. Now, how does the Holy Spirit work in your life? The answer is gradually, a little bit at a time. Look at this next verse. As the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him. Circle more and more. That means it's a gradual process. It's step by step. It's not instant. It's incremental. Now, when God wants to make a mushroom, He takes 6 hours. When God wants to make an oak tree, He takes 60 years. The question is, do you want your life to be a mushroom or an oak tree? As your pastor who loves you, I can help you get from here to here. I can help you grow to be the person you want to be, but I cannot show you how to do it overnight. There is no such thing as instant maturity. It takes time. It is a small, step-by-step, gradual, incremental, more and more process. You see, you didn't collect your hurts, habits, and hang-ups overnight. It took you a long time to get as messed up as you are. I mean, it just didn't happen overnight. Sometimes I'm out on the patio and somebody comes and says, Pastor Rick, I need you to solve my marriage problem. I said, well, how long have you been married? 15 years. How long have you had this problem? 10 years. And you want a 5-second answer? It ain't gonna happen. You gotta peel that onion, that baby, one layer at a time. The Holy Spirit works within us, become gradually more and more like Him. You've gotta develop new habits to change. And that's what your character is, the sum total of your habits. We call these habits the spiritual disciplines. These spiritual disciplines, they're the building blocks of defeating the defects in your life. Number 5, this is a big one. Change requires honest community. In other words, you're going to have some people in your life who tell you the truth and you listen to it. You're not going to get well on your own. You're going to need other people in your life. You're going to need support. You're going to need a small group. Change requires honest community. There are some things in your life you're never, ever going to be able to change on your own. Now, typically, the things that are most difficult in your life, you don't want anybody else to know about. They're the things you want to hide in the closet. They're the things you don't want to tell. They're the things you're most embarrassed about. They're the most deep-seated problems and fears in your life. And you know what? You're never getting over them until you share it with one other person. Now, you don't have to tell everybody. You don't have to tell the whole world. You just need to find one person. That's why we have small groups. Who will trust you, you trust them, they're confidential, they're gonna love you unconditionally, they're not gonna judge you, they're gonna support you, they're gonna pray for you, and you're gonna pray for them. But revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing. You gotta have one person, gut level honest. You don't have to have a lot of people, but you need to have at least one. Some things are so big in your life, you have to team tackle them to take them down. You gotta have two linemen tackling that guy to pull him down, because one guy isn't enough. You're gonna need small groups. You're gonna need support. But it's not just a small group where you get together and go, hey, how's it going? Well, that's going great, and everybody lives at a superficial level. You gotta get to that level of maturity where you're saying, you know what, I had a tough week this week, and here's what happened. No, we're not talking about therapy groups. We don't have therapy groups in this church. We're not trying to psychologize each other out. What we have is people who love each other. And when times are tough, I need to tell you what's tough in my life. And when you're having a tough time, you need to have somebody to talk to. Gut level authenticity. This is verse 25. It says, put away all falsehood. That means all the faking it, all the phoniness, all the pretending like you got it all together. Put away all falsehood and tell your neighbor the truth about you. Because we belong to each other. Circle the word belong. If you're a believer, you're also a belonger. You belong in the family of God, and every other believer belongs to you. They're your brother, they're your sister, and we belong to each other. You cannot become until you belong. You can't become what God wants you to be until you belong in a group that's going to have gut level, honest community. Put away falsehood. Talk to your neighbor. Tell your friend the truth. Because we belong to each other. Now, let me just say it this way. Listen closely. If you are serious about changing the deepest hang-ups in your heart, the deepest defects in your life, you're going to have to face the fear of being honest. You got to stop faking it. You got to put away falsehood. You got to be real. Now, you can go through life with one of two choices, pretending you've got it all together or getting it all together. But you'll never get it all together as long as you pretend you've got it all together. And you're never going to get well, get healed, get rid of that area that's bugging you in your life till you talk to somebody about it. Say, why? God wired it that we need each other. That you don't get healed on your own. You don't get well on your own. You don't grow on your own. You got to face up to your fear of being honest with maybe just one or two, not a lot of people. Now, as your pastor, I want you to succeed. I pray for your success in all seven key areas. I pray for that. But here's what the Bible says on the screen. You'll never succeed. You will never succeed in life if you try to hide your sins. Confess them and give them up, then God will spank your pants. No, that's what it says. It says, then God will what? Show mercy. A lot of times, I'm afraid to tell God my sins. Oh, like he doesn't know? He's just waiting to show mercy. He's just waiting to show mercy. It says, confess, then you'll be succeeding. Somebody say, why am I not succeeding? Because you got hidden sin. Why am I not succeeding? Because you're hiding your defects. I'm doing my best and I'm not succeeding. The Bible says, as long as you try to hide those hang-ups, you're not going to succeed. Change requires honest community. We waste enormous energy covering up. And if you took all the energy you spend trying to cover up your hidden secrets and you invested it in being honest, you know what? You would be liberated and be a thing of the past. Our biggest hurdle to holiness, my biggest hurdle to holiness, is my desire to want to look good. But in a small group, with a few friends, three, four, five friends, I don't have to look good. I don't have to look good. I can just be myself with those people. Now, if you're not in a group, there are areas of your life you're never going to get victory over. Now, Galatians 6:2, by helping each other with your troubles, you truly obey the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Love your neighbor as yourself. So you get a group, and then in your small group, you establish some ground rules. One of the ground rules is what's said in the group stays in the group, okay? You don't have a safe group until people go, okay, we can share anything here, and it's not going to get reported on Facebook. You don't wait for prayer time in your small group and then start tweeting, okay? No, what's said in the group stays in the group. And another ground rule is you don't try to fix people. We're not psychologists. We're not trying to fix each other. And another principle is you don't minimize other people's pain. You don't say, it's like I heard about a woman said, my husband died, and the guy says, I'm sorry, my hamster died. I don't think he got it. He just didn't get it. You don't minimize other people's pain. Guys, you share your deepest hurts with other guys, and gals, you share your deepest hurts with other gals. And in a small group, I don't focus on changing you. I focus on changes I need to make. Now, that leads us to the last thing that has to happen, and that is change requires overcoming temptation. And that is a skill most people have never learned. They don't know how to overcome, how to defeat temptation. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 says this, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a mighty foothold to the devil. Circle the phrase, mighty foothold. What does that mean? Did you know that you can be a believer, you can be a follower of Christ, and you can give the devil a foothold in your life? What is a foothold in your life? It's when Satan gets a beachhead in your life. In World War II, when the Marines would go into the islands of the South Pacific, goal number one was simply to establish a beachhead. All they wanted to do is land on the island and establish a beachhead 100 yards deep and a couple hundred yards wide. Once they had that, once we were on an island, the Marines, the rest of the battle was taken over by the Army, and they would slowly take over the entire island. But you got to establish a beachhead first. And the Bible says, don't let Satan do that in your life. Don't let him get a beachhead in your life. Anytime you have a secret sin, that's a beachhead in your life. You say, what creates a stronghold in my life? I can be a Christian and Satan can have a stronghold in my life. What is it? Well, here he says it's anger. But I can tell you in many other passages, what creates a stronghold in your life is any negative emotion you hold on to. Write that down. A negative emotion will give Satan a stronghold in my life. It can be anger. So he says, don't hold on to anger. You hold on to anger overnight, you're allowing Satan to get a stronghold in your life. You deal with that conflict before you go to bed. And if you have to stay up all night, you stay up all night. Do not give a foothold to Satan in your life by holding on to a negative emotion. But it doesn't have to be anger. It could be worry. It could be fear. When you hold on to a secret fear, that creates a stronghold, a foothold in your life. When you hold on to resentment, when you hold on to bitterness or grudge, that creates a stronghold in your life. When you hold on to loneliness, when you hold on to guilt, when you hold on to shame, when you hold on to regret, when you hold on to anxiety, any negative emotion allows Satan to get a stronghold in your life. And in this series on temptation, I'm going to talk to you about how to defeat that. Now, let me close with this question. How serious are you about really changing? Do you intend to be emotionally stronger in 3 years? Do you intend to be spiritually deeper in 3 years? Do you intend to be financially sounder? Do you intend to be more mentally alert, intellectually smart? The sad thing is some of you won't be. Why? Because you never intended to be. And you weren't willing to do what the Bible requires us to do for lasting change. Let's bow our heads. Father, because none of us is perfect, we all have defective areas of our lives. And some of the areas that are defective in our lives are so painful, we can hardly even stand to think about them. We're embarrassed by it. And we're stuck in fear and stuck in secrets. And I know everybody here has struggled with some kind of defects, emotional, relational, spiritual, mental. Some of us are in defective relationships that are stuck or cold or dying or maybe even estranged, separated. Many others of us are struggling with habits, secret hurts or fears that are out of control in our lives, and we're afraid that they're out of control. Give every person here the courage to take the first step in making the hard changes in me. Now, would you pray this in your heart? God will hear you. Just say, "Dear God, I want to learn the truth. I don't want to build my life on lies, but I want to learn the truth. I want to know the path to walk on. I want to know when I'm off the path, how to get back on it and how to stay on it. I want to begin spending time in your word every day so I can learn the foundation of truth. Lord, you said that change requires making choices. That there's some things I've got to let go of. Help me to have the courage to let go of those things. And I'm going to ask you to help me to work out what you're working in my life. Give me the will and the power that I don't have that's greater than willpower. I want to begin thinking in a new way. I want to fill my mind daily so that there's a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitudes. I want to have the same mind and attitude of Jesus. I know I can't do this on my own. Holy Spirit, I want you to help me put on this new nature, be a new person. And as you work within me, I want to become more and more like Jesus Christ. More solid, more stable, more strong, more successful, the way you intend me to be. Help me to have the courage to be a part of an honest community. Lord, if I'm not in a small group right now, I commit to being in a small group, to starting a group, to beginning one today. And if you're in a group, say, Lord, help me to be honest in my group that might break down the wall that people could really find help and encouragement because we're all in the same boat. Help us to obey the law of Christ and love each other as we love ourselves. And Lord, use this small group series to teach me the skills of overcoming temptation and how to not let a negative emotion become a foothold for the devil in my life. If you've never invited Jesus Christ into your life, say, Jesus Christ, I don't understand it all, but as much as I know how, I'm saying yes to you. I want to invite you into my life today. In your name I pray. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Rick. If you just prayed to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, congratulations. You're now my brother or sister in the Lord, and you need to tell somebody, and why don't you tell me? Write to me, rick@pastorrick.com. Just email me, rick@pastorrick.com, and tell me your story. I would love to read it. And by the way, I'll send you some free material to help you start in your new journey with the Lord. God bless you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. Now, if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today. But first, Pastor Rick is always reminding us about the importance of getting God's Word into our hearts. That's why he created a brand new version of the Daily Hope Scripture Box, and it's beautiful. The new Scripture Box is silver with the look and feel of leather, and there's an embossed Bible verse on top. It's designed to hold the Daily Hope full-color Bible verse cards that will help you memorize God's Word. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
One of the most powerful ways you can transform your spiritual life is to memorize Scripture. You say, I can't do that. Oh, yes, you can. The Bible says in Proverbs 7, verse 2, guard my words as your most precious possession. Write them down and keep them deep within your heart. To keep them deep in your heart, you have to remember them. That's why I've had my team create a beautiful scripture box so you can practice memorizing the verses. It's a collection of spiritual tools that will help you keep God's word in you so you have it when you need it most. You know, when you're tempted, you rarely have a Bible by your side. And when you're witnessing to somebody who doesn't know Christ, or they're under stress, or they need comfort, or they're in a crisis, there's not usually a Bible hanging around. So you need God's word in your mind so you can remember it. And then when you need them, the Holy Spirit can bring them back to mind. Now, the Holy Spirit can't bring up something you haven't put in your heart or in your mind. So store them in this beautiful box. It's a real pretty box that will make a great conversation piece. And by the way, this is a skill that you can learn. You say, I can't memorize anything. Oh, yes, you can. In fact, studies have shown that if you learn to memorize scripture, your brain will actually get stronger and you will remember other things better as well. That's right. Imagine this. If you only memorized one verse a week, that's a good thing. Okay. One verse a week in 1 year, you will have memorized 52 verses from the Word of God and you'll be so much stronger as a believer. So I hope you'll get this tool. We're doing it for you.
There are 52 new Bible verse cards included, which all feature brand new artwork and graphic designs. In fact, these cards are so beautiful, you can display them around your home. You can even frame them. This set of scripture cards is based on the series, The Invisible War. Rick picked out 52 Bible verses that will help you win the spiritual battles you face every day. Oh, and the scripture box? It makes a great gift, too. This practical spiritual growth tool is yours today when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Go to PastorRick.com to get this powerful resource, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 today. Again, that's PastorRick.com, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. There are only 2 days left to get your copy of this great study resource, so don't wait. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.